Greetings. That's not very pretty. We always like to start our presentations on Project Lazarus by showing you a little bit of the part of the world that we come from, which is Wilkes County in the foothills of the Appalachians in North Carolina. But one of the things that we've learned is that in spite of the fact that pictures are worth a thousand words, pictures are also in some ways deceptive. Because in spite of the fact that this is one of the more bucolic pictures that you may see for a while, Wilkes County is the leader in, it's the capital of moonshine and the hometown of NASCAR, which may suggest a little bit that we have a little subculture of substance abuse and diversion. So what we have tried to do is to figure out a way to deal with some of the problems. One of the problems is that Wilkes County has the dubious distinction of up to until a year ago having the highest mortality rate from unintentional poisonings, primarily due to prescription opioids, of the entire state of North Carolina. And three years ago in 2008, Wilkes County had the third highest unintentional poisoning mortality rate in the country. Project Lazarus was designed to respond to that epidemic of drug overdoses. Project Lazarus is a very small group. To give you an idea as to how massive we have one full-time program manager. We have two part-time epidemiologists. We have one part-time physician who works with us. We have an office manager. We have a part-time school counselor, and we have tons of volunteers. So that just gives you an idea as to who we are and what we're trying to do. My goal today is to give you an idea, not so much what Project Lazarus does, though we'll hit on little bits of that, but how we are trying to involve the community in a program to prevent drug overdoses, primarily from prescribed opioids. Okay. And we do have disclosures to make, but we will say that with our smallness, we have commitment, we have staff, we have volunteers, and we need money. So we will go and get money from almost anyone who is willing to give it to us if we apply, providing there are no strings attached. And so this should give you an idea that we have local funding. We have funding from very different kinds of organizations and agencies within the state. We have some federal funding, and we also have funding from the pharmaceutical industry. And as long as, again, there are no strings attached, we are happy to spend their money with Gay Vanden. We do believe in mission statements, and on our website and at almost every presentation that we give, we try to talk about this because we believe that a mission statement is something that we need. We look at it all the time. We've just revised ours to make sure that it's accurate, but a mission statement should basically say what we believe in, and what we believe in is that communities are primarily responsible for their own health and that drug overdoses, poisonings per se, are preventable. We also need to say who we are. We are a secular nonprofit organization, and what we do is we provide technical assistance to the community at large as well as clinicians throughout North Carolina and beyond to try to prevent drug overdoses while meeting the needs of people who are living in chronic pain. This is a very different approach than many of the drug overdose and harm reduction programs throughout the U.S. Now, for those of you who don't know me, I do spend my life running around in concentric circles. This is a circular and iterative public health model that is very much responsive to an injury prevention approach. we always start at the core of having community engagement, where there has to be community knowledge and there has to be coalition building, because if we don't do that, nothing else works. And I talk with my hands. The second part of this model is we have to have epidemiologic monitoring, because we need good data to know what we're doing in order to build community awareness and to support the other components of this circle. We have a very strong prevention component, which works with the medical, the law enforcement, and the lay communities in the community where we work. And primarily, I'm going to talk about what we did in Wilkes County, North Carolina, but we are now moving on to the other 99 counties in North Carolina, as well as Fort Bragg and other areas throughout the U.S. So there's prevention, and when prevention doesn't work, there is now a safety net in this model, something that many public health programs have not put in yet. Prevention doesn't always work, and so what we have is a harm reduction component, which says that, no, we do not recommend that you use drugs, but if you do, there are safer ways to use them. We try to teach physicians that they can prescribe naloxone, which is an antidote to an opioid overdose. So if an overdose occurs, there is a mechanism in the community to overturn the overdose, so I stop counting dead bodies. And we also train families and friends to recognize the signs and the symptoms so they can help reverse the overdose as well. All different parts of harm reduction. And we also believe in advocating for substance abuse treatment. So if you have found a person who is at high risk or who misuses and abuses their drug, then there is something to offer them. Besides, right now in North Carolina, 90% of those we know who are seeking substance abuse treatment don't get it. And last but not least, we believe in program evaluation. There are a huge number of public health programs out there which have never been evaluated and probably don't work. We need to make sure that our program works, and in order to maintain the buy-in of our communities, they have to know that their programs are working, and they have to be asked to make sure that we have their input as well. Now, the underlying principles that we work on, because we work out in the boonies, it was not a huge leap for us to realize that community organizers have to know their community. You walk in there and say, I'm from the government and I can fix your problems, and trust me, you won't. And we knew better than to say that. Communities must be made aware that they have a problem. Many communities don't know that, particularly when it comes to substance abuse, and more particularly when it comes to the misuse and abuse of particularly narcotics, painkillers. And most importantly, communities must be allowed to help formulate the response before they will start to change their behaviors and support what you're trying to do. So, for the first component in our community knowledge and coalition, we basically have six steps. The first two steps, the data collection, community assessment to provide community awareness, is something that we as Project Lazarus do when we go into each of our communities. The other four components, building the coalitions, helping them create strategic and action plans, actually getting them to implement all of the things they decide they want to do, and to help them financially sustain what they're doing, we do this in terms of technical advice. There is a marvelous saying in statistics that you cannot be all things to all people all of the time. And when there are four or five of us in 99 to 100 counties, we can't be there all of the time. So we have to engage the community. Once we get them started, we're there to help them, but we're not there holding hands 24/7. Community approaches, we use both a bottom-up and a top-down. Bottom-up says, by and large, we are going to start with the communities, get them to help us pick out the programs they want even if they are not the programs that we think are the most important. They have to buy into it first. And so as they begin implementing the intervention programs, whether it's for prevention or harm reduction and rescue, then once they have those and they see they work, then they can add others. So with this bottom-up approach, we use this in both the Community Awareness Coalition and the program evaluation. The second is a top-down. Even though the communities want to be keenly and actively involved in what it is they're doing, once they pick a prevention strategy, they want to make sure that it is evidence-based and, you know, is rigorous and scientific. And so one of our jobs is to make sure that we provide them with as large an array as possible of the kind of intervention programs that they want. Now, the next two slides are basically a list of the kind of partners that we have in Wilkes County. And this is basically to say that these particular agencies and organizations in the community reflect the fact that the people who use, misuse, and abuse drugs are our parents, our spouses, our siblings, our friends, and our neighbors. There are very few people who in a lifetime do not encounter one or more people who do not have a drug problem. And so once we know that, if you look at this and you look at the next slide, we work with everyone. We work with schools. We work with law enforcement. We work with juvenile justice. And, you know, we work with pregnancy centers. There's no end to the number of groups we don't work with. And we need them all of the time, even though we're not there. If you look at the right-hand side of the slide, those are the state agencies that we work with most of the time. And I add them to let you know that we avail ourselves of their technical expertise. So when I need some data, when I want emergency department data, or when we need help from the Medicaid authorities, we have those people to whom we can turn. So there are no ends of the partners to which we turn, and we would suggest that they're all out there. All you have to do most of the time is just go ask, and many times they will help you out. So with step two, having, you know, looked at community awareness and action, the second idea is epidemiologic monitoring. We look at fatal overdoses, non-fatal overdoses, as well as the amount of opioids that are available and controlled substances that are available in the state. We are very fortunate to have an excellent medical examiner system. We have a vital record system that when I call, they apologize profusely that they can't get data to me within 24 hours. But, you know, they're not that fast. But one of the things we've been able to do is working through our health departments is to have them work with their local medical examiners so they have access to information on overdoses sometimes within 24 hours of the occurrence. This is something that anyone can do if they have medical examiners in the community, but many people haven't thought to do that. And we try and train the hospital, health departments in our state to do that. With the non-fatal overdoses, we have a miraculous emergency department database. All of the hospitals are required to produce a discharge abstract, very similar to that for the hospital discharge abstract. This is fed into the database every 12 hours. Now, it often takes 4 to 6 weeks to get all of the coding done and updated, but that means I have a 6-week lag time in emergency department data, so I can very easily determine in any one community how many people are being treated for substance abuse or accidental poisonings. And so it's a very good pulse on the community. We also have poison control data from the poison centers. We have hospital data and we have Medicaid data, which look at other different parts of that big elephant standing in the room. And our prescription monitoring program went into effect in 2007, and we are very lucky in that we have these data, and I am running way behind. I'm going to show you this one slide to let you know that we do use traditional vital statistics. The green is Wilkes County, which gives you an idea as to why we were so distressed. The mortality rate is very high, except for 2010. The rate has dropped almost in half, which we suspect may have something to do with what we have done in Project Lazarus. But we started in 2005. It takes a long time to change the culture and behavior, but it is possible. And until I see 2011 data, if you see in 2003, that rate dropped way down. And so until I have 2 years' worth of data, I'm going to be very skeptical. Okay, this is the emergency department data. We'll move on to prevention. We are working with physicians and replicating a chronic pain management educational program for docs to teach them to more carefully monitor chronic pain patients, to more carefully prescribe opioids, to identify their patients who are at high risk for an opioid overdose, and to prescribe naloxone, which is an antidote to an opioid overdose, to their high-risk patients, so that should an overdose occur, that their families would be able to reverse the overdose and get medical help to them before they die. This is a very different approach than what we have. We also work in emergency rooms to get them to change their prescribing policies, so our frequent flyers actually get to go to primary care docs, and the number of opioids that are dispensed have gone from 30 days supplies down to 9 tablets. And then we conduct injury prevention or drug prevention programs in the schools and the faith community and the juvenile justice system and all different sectors in order for the community at large to be educated and activated to support these programs. And then we also have advocated and gotten more substance abuse treatment facilities in Wilkes County and in the rest of the state. And go through the pictures. This is the fourth step. We basically have this safety net so that when patients are seen in the physician's office or in a substance abuse clinic, if they are at high risk, the physician prescribes gives them a prescription for naloxone and also gives them a special kit. With this kit, they end up watching a DVD that was made in Wilkes County with Wilkes County folks, showing patients how to be more responsible, showing the signs and symptoms of an opioid overdose, and showing communities, the families, peers, and friends how to reverse the overdose, and teaching the patients how to make an overdose plan. So if they are using their drugs, then they know that they shouldn't use alone, that they should have someone they can call, and the person they can call has been trained how to recognize if they're going down the tubes and how to revive them. Okay, and the last part is program evaluation. What we like to do is to go back and look at the epi data to make sure that there are actually fewer people dying. There is controversy as to whether we should see more or fewer people going to the emergency room, because one of the things you want to do is to have people who are experiencing an overdose have the benefit of medical care, but then you would also like to see fewer frequent flyers for chronic pain in the ER and have them go to a primary care doc. So there is some controversy there. With the process evaluation, because it takes so long to get demonstrable outcome results, what we need are ways to measure how the programs are implemented in the communities, whether the docs like the chronic pain initiative and the toolkit that they get, whether there are more physicians who are being certified to treat substance abuse patients with buprenorphine, and you know whether or not anybody in the community is actually making an overdose plan and using the naloxone to reverse an overdose. So that, in a nutshell, is what we do, how we try to get the community involved at every step. And should you like more information, we are available 24/7, even though sometimes we don't answer the phone at 2 o'clock. Some of us do, some of us don't. Please call us, and we would be more than happy to tell you more and help you get started if you're interested. Thank you.